Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Tua. Wasn't praise and worship great today? I tell you, I really like that reggae twist they put on there. That's good. That's good. I like that. You know what I like? I like it when the musicians start worshiping. You know, when they start worshiping and quit forgetting about the crowd or performing, it's really good. And my attention, I was caught by Alex over there. He was really getting his groove on and just kind of really on that bass. So, Alex, I could tell you were worshiping God, brother. It was wonderful. I'm so delighted to be here with you this morning. And for those who are visiting here, my name is Ken. I'm the pastor of this church, and we started it about 2 years ago with the team. David and Kim Cost were part of the team, and then we had some Kiwis that moved over here years ago who've joined the team, and Norman and Easter and Seda and Novaline were some of those, along with Tua and Mariko. So we're just so blessed to be here in Brisbane, Australia, and to have had the opportunity to come here. And for those who don't know, we're moving to Dallas, Texas, to take up our assignment there with Every Nation, and we're going to be coming back through here at least once a year, perhaps more, just to visit the churches that have been planted and say hello to everyone and come and minister and keep our connection going. Amen. Everybody say connection. Say connection. How many know connections are really good? And you can't get a good connection on Facebook, even though you've got a lot of people following you. Real connections are when you can touch people and talk to them and look them in the eyes and feel what they're feeling and know what they're going through. And so God really is about connecting people to one another, but more importantly, connecting people to Him. God is a connector, and He longs to have a relationship with us. He really desires to be with us. My wife's been away for almost 2 months. I saw her in Hawaii 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago at Benjamin's graduation. And it was just, I love that woman. I'd do almost anything for her, you see. And it was just that longing to reconnect with my wife and then my son Benjamin and my children. And I have that for you too. I feel that for you. I care about you. And that's because there's been a connection made. And when God puts a connection in your heart towards people, it doesn't matter what color their skin is, doesn't matter where they come from, what they've been through, you connect. And that's what God's into doing. And the way God connects is a thing called legacy. Legacy. And I want to talk to you about leaving a legacy for your life. When we talk about legacy, a lot of times it's a wonderful English term. When I hear the word legacy, sometimes I think about Charles Dickens and the Christmas Carol and different times where, you know, Martin Chuzzlewit and all these things where people were trying to, one of their loved ones was dying, a rich uncle or a rich auntie, and they were trying to somehow get the legacy, get the inheritance, somehow get in good favor of this dying relative and receive the legacy, the property, or the fortune that they were leaving behind. And that's what legacy means. It means that something has been left behind that has value. Something has value that has left behind. And whether you know it or not, all of us are making a legacy with what we do in this life. We're leaving something behind. It may not be good, it may not be prominent, but whether you like it or not, good, bad, or indifferent, you and I are leaving a legacy. My prayer is that my legacy will be positive and it will be eternal and it will have an impact on people's lives so that they can say that Jesus came into their life through this person's life or through his influence or through him being there. That's really my legacy. I don't want people to remember me for, I won the hot dog eating contest or I scored the most tries or, you know what I'm saying, or I drank the most beer at the, I mean, some people, that's their whole identity, to be remembered for doing something crazy that's just temporal. But a real legacy we want to talk about has to do with eternal things. What is a legacy? A legacy is an interesting word. It means an inheritance of property or money, but it also speaks of the value system you live by and the memories you and I will leave behind. The value systems that you live by, your values, your character, and the memories you leave behind. In other words, you're inheriting something in a legacy. The two words that come out to me are memories and values. Memories and values. When I went to Auckland 2 weeks ago and preached, we had a wonderful time. And I did my best to hold back tears. Because when people start getting up and talking about what God did and through planting the church and making disciples and somebody else's life touched somebody else and somebody else's life touched that person, and it all was a beautiful ripple effect that happened because somebody was obedient to God. It was a legacy. And I thought, God, this is so wonderful that you would use me to touch somebody else and somebody else would touch them. And then they'd be, and all of a sudden you see how God works. And it just amazes me. I'm looking at Stephanie and Shani right here. They're born again, saved, love God, full of the glory of God, beautiful women of God, sitting here on church, worshiping God. You know how it happened? It happened because a woman named Cecilia Latu came here, scared out of her wits, to leave New Zealand. I mean, she was a mama's girl and a daddy's girl. I think she's the only child in her family. So she could hardly go to the mall without getting permission. You know, that's how protective they were of her. And here she is, a grown woman, and God speaks to her, and through fear and trembling and trepidation, she gets a passport. And she saves enough money to come here to work here in Brisbane and to go out on the campus. Horror, shock, go on a university campus and talk to people I don't know about God? Are you kidding? The university is a hostile environment. There's lions and tigers and bears and atheists and agnostics and professors out there. Amen. They're everywhere. And you gotta have kind of some boldness in you. But she goes on the campus, and guess who she meets? She meets this young lady and preaches the word to her. Then she preaches the word to her sister. They both get saved. We baptize them in our pool at 18 Glen Lyon, Ashgrove. Postal code 4060. Want to make sure I got the address right, just in case you're checking up on my testimony. We baptize them in the pool. And all of a sudden, wow, boom, they're not just saved, but they're impacting people. See, that's how legacy works in a positive sense. Cherish memories and cherish values. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 8:2. Don't turn there, just listen. You shall remember, say remember. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in this wilderness these 40 years. That he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The key word there is remember. There's something about remembering that's very, very powerful. There's something about a memory that if it's rightly placed in my spirit and your spirit, it will propel us on into our destiny. Can I tell you what encourages me a lot when I go to a new place to preach the gospel to people who really don't want me there? Is a guy like Seda Leolavave, a.k.a. Hulk Legs. Seda, you know what he said to me? He didn't even know he said this, but a few weeks after he got saved and baptized, he looked at me and said, "Oh, Pastor Ken, you know what amazed me?" He says, "God had to bring somebody from the other side of the world to tell me about Jesus." There are plenty of Christians in New Zealand. There are a lot of good Christians in New Zealand. But I thought, it struck me. That's right. That what I thought was just obeying God was so significant that had an impact. And the memory of him saying those words to me propel me even today. I don't go up to him, but you know, I come from America, the other side of the world. Sit here, I want to talk to you now. You know, I don't introduce myself like that, but that memory of that propels me. That memory of that is a motivating factor. Why? Because there's something of a legacy. There's something of a heritage. It's destiny being released. Don't underestimate the memories that God has formed here in Brisbane and will continue to form. Remember, Proverbs 13:22 says this, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Notice inheritance and legacy are closely related. Can I tell you, legacies are not left by accident either. They're on purpose. Good legacies are left on purpose. People who are about to die, can I tell you what? If they're smart, they will write their will and they'll get several attorneys to look through it and make sure, is this what you want to do? This is how you want to leave it. These are the people you want to be blessed when you pass on to out from this world. Yes, 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 I've thought about it. I've planned it. And I want these people to receive these cherished things that I'm leaving to them once I'm gone. That's what a legacy is about. What is it that I want to leave you with when I'm gone? I told the group when I was at Roma Street, I said, you know what? If I die, if somebody clips me with their car and I go on to heaven, I want this Bible study to keep going. And I want to raise up somebody. I don't want people saying, well, Pastor Ken's dead now. That's the end of our Connect group. You know, okay, guys, we got Thursday morning off now. Hallelujah. No, I want them to say, look, wow, he discipled us. He made an impartation. There's a legacy here. There's a continuation. There's a connect going on, even though I'm not present. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Leave an inheritance. Strategically preparing for a legacy. I want to read you about a legacy. This is very powerful. Many of you may have heard this before because I preached it in New Zealand before. It's about a man named Jonathan and his wife Sarah Edwards. Jonathan felt God's call to become a minister. This is back in the 1700s in colonial America. He and his young bride began a pastorate of a small congregation in New England. During the years that followed, he wrote many sermons, prayers, and books, and influential in the Great Awakening that swept across the American colonies. Jonathan Edwards, today you can still read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, one of the great, great sermons ever written of antiquity. It was Jonathan Edwards who preached and wrote that. Together they produced 11 children. 11 children. Good Catholic family. No, they weren't Catholic. They were actually Presbyterians. But they produced 11 children. During the ministry, they sought advice regarding sermons and church matters. They spent their time talking things over together with their children at the dinner table when they were old enough to understand. The parents included these children in their conversations. The effects of the Edwards life have been far-reaching, but the most measurable result of their fruitfulness is God's call through their 11 descendants. Elizabeth Dodd recorded a study done by Professor A.E. Winship on the descendants of Sarah and Jonathan Edwards. Here's what they found. Of their descendants, from those 11 children, 100 of the descendants became lawyers. One became a dean of a law school. 80 became holders of public office. 66 were physicians, and one became a dean of a medical college. 65 became college and university professors. 13 became college professors. 3 became mayors of large cities on the East Coast. 3 became governors of entire states. 3 became United States senators, what we would call a member of parliament here, an MP. 1 became the controller of the entire treasury of the United States. And one became vice president of the United States of America. These were from those 11 children. What a legacy. What a wonderful destiny. What a wonderful heritage. There was another man and his wife. They grew up as contemporaries of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. His name was Max Jukes. He lived in the same area. He did not believe in Christ and did not go to church. And even when his children wanted to attend church, he and his wife did not take them to church. He refused to. Of all their descendants, they traced the same lineage of Max Jukes. They found that he had 1,026 descendants that they could trace. Of those descendants, his legacy read like this. 300 were in prison for an average of 13 years or more. In prison. 190 became public prostitutes. It wasn't secret or covert. It was public. 190 became public prostitutes. 680 were addicted to alcohol, public drunks. 680. His family thus far cost the state of New York back then in the 1800s $420,000. Today, the equivalent would be $5 million of what it costs to incarcerate and to reel in these wayward descendants of Max Jukes. Notice the difference between one legacy and the other legacy. Notice what happens when what you think is insignificant, holding a Bible study with your children around the breakfast table on Monday morning, has tremendous ramifications for the future. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but you are preparing people to go out in the culture and impact it positively. University professors, medical doctors, members of parliament, people who are going to do great and mighty things, or conversely, you are preparing delinquents to go out and for our tax dollars to go to pay to incarcerate them and to try and rehab them. We all have a legacy. I want mine to be like Jonathan Edwards. How about you? Amazing. What limits legacy? What are the things that are confining to our legacy? What is it that causes you and I to say, I would really like this to happen, but this is an impediment to me really leaving a positive legacy? Well, number one, it's this self-absorbed consumer generation we live in. Self-absorbed consumer generation. I was talking to a young man just yesterday. He said, what do you think about this message that's going around about come to church and God will bless you and give you all these things? I said, it's a good message. It's part of the gospel. I said, but it's not the whole gospel. Because part of the gospel is come and be blessed, but the other part is come and die. In fact, Jesus was the one when the rich young ruler came to him, and in the discourse, he said, unless you're willing to leave everything and follow me, this is the rich young ruler, not the poor broke ruler. He's rich, he's young, he's handsome, everybody's following him on Facebook, he's got all the dates, he's invited to all the right parties, he's got the nice convertible that rides up and down Brisbane Coronation Drive, everybody sees him, he eats lunch every Sunday at the Regatta, he's got the nice polo clothes, he's got it all, baby. He's the man. He comes there, and he said, what must I do? He said, unless you are willing to leave everything, you cannot be a part of this thing called Christianity. The Bible says he walked away grieved. Why? He was one who owned much property. Amazing. Amazing. We live in a narcissistic culture that says, what about me? What can it do for me? How can this help me? What can this church do for me? And it's wonderful the church can do a lot for you, and God can do a lot for you, and he wants to bless you. But there's the other side of that coin is, I'm coming not just to get, I'm coming to give too. I'm coming to make a contribution. You see? I think I told this church before, but we used to sing a song called It's All About You. In fact, we sang it today, I think. It's all about you, Jesus. You know, and this little kid starts singing the song, and he thought the verse should go, it's all about me. In fact, he thought we were singing it to him. It's all about you. Oh, they're talking to me. And he was going around his house, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus, this is good. It's all about me. His parents had said, no, we're not saying, nobody, the church isn't singing to you, we're singing to Jesus. Oh, I thought it was all about me. No, it isn't. It's all about him. You see? Now, we laugh at that and we get a kick out of it, but how many of us come in here and think, who's going to encourage me? Who's going to hug me? Who's going to tell me I look good? Who's going to notice my new shoes? Who's going to see I brush my teeth this morning? Who's going to, you know, it's all about me. What's in it for me? How many of you know that's human nature? We all think like that. And we got to get out of that. If you want to be a legacy lever, you got to get out of your own fan club. You know, when you like your own selfies on Facebook, how many know it's you're in trouble. How many know when you're the only one liking your own selfies, you're in big trouble? I'll click that. Oh, yeah, I like that. I look good there. I look good. Come on. Conviction just fell. And so we have that kind of culture. In fact, Jesus said these words. Listen to this. He said, unless a grain of wheat comes and dies and falls into the earth, it will bear no fruit. He's talking to people. Unless you come and die, give up what you think, feel, and want, you will not bear any fruit. Can I tell you what? The most selfish people in the world don't live for others. They live for their own pleasure and convenience. That's why they don't leave a legacy. Max Jukes was selfish, and that's why his kids grew up selfish, and that's why they ended up with the horrible lifestyle they had. Here we have Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, and they were thinking about others. They were thinking about their legacy. They were thinking about the future, so and they invested in the future, and they became selfless, and now there is a heritage to their name, while there is a negative stain on this man called Max Jukes. Why? Because of self-centered, self-absorbed, narcissistic, consumer thinking. Amen or oh my. It's my last sermon. I got to make it good. That's one reason why people don't have a legacy. It limits legacy. Selfish people don't think about others. Selfish people, they're all worried about the unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. That's all. That's who they worship, the unholy trinity. You see, and we've got to, as Christians, we've got to resist this. We've got to say, no, it's not about me. It's not about what's in it for me. It's about, God, what do you want me to do? Because I want my life to live on. Can I tell you something? You're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive. Has anyone thought about that? Maybe you're eating your Wheat-Bix this morning or your oatmeal or whatever you eat for breakfast, your roast beef, whatever you eat for breakfast, and you're thinking, oh, you know, I wonder how long I'll be dead. You'll be dead for a long time. You might live to be 80 or 100 years old, maybe, if you're very healthy, but you're going to be dead for all the eons of time. Can I tell you what? We'll never have another chance to come back and redo what we have a chance to do here in this life. This life counts. Today matters. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, today matters. It matters. What if I graduate? What if I get married? What if I get my new car? What if I have my first child? When I retire? When I move? When I do my overseas experience? Forget about when. Live today. And be strategic in the way you live. Be strategic in the way you live. Number two, absentee leaders and absentee fathers. What limits legacy is absentee leaders and absentee fathers. Where are the leaders? I mean, anybody can show up to church and preach a sermon. Where are the people? Where are the fathers? The people I deal with and the young men I've had to minister to, their dads were not there, or they had no leaders in their life. And so that limits us. Absentee mothers, absentee leaders. We need, leaders aren't just people who stand up and grab a microphone and preach or sing. Leaders are people who get down and dirty. I love it. I love it. You know, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't be willing to do. That's why when we started the church, guess who was on the setup breakdown team? Pastor Ken. But you're Pastor Ken. You're on the apostolic regional team. You're this. You're the pastor over these churches. You started these churches. Hey, I'm not too good to set up or break down, particularly when some of you guys are sleeping in on Sunday morning. You know, I'm not too good to sweep the floor. Why? Because it's not just sweeping the floor. I'm preparing the way. This is what Christianity is meant to be. We freaked out. I freaked out a lot of Polynesians in Auckland by doing yard work. Because the pastors in the Ifakasa and the pastors in the congregational church, they don't work. Guess what they do? They sit around and eat. Amen. I feel your love, brother. And they pastor, and I got there and I was doing yard work, and they were looking at me like, oh, you're not supposed to. And they looked at me and I was perspiring. Men call it sweat. Well, we were perspiring. And they looked at me like, oh, pastor, sweat. They perspire. Oh, wow, this is amazing. You know? I say, yeah, I do yard work. I'll do this. Why? Because it's not about leading up here. Anyone can do this. It's leading in life. It's about getting on the campus. It's about doing connect groups. It's about going to prayer meetings. It's about fasting. I'll call a fast this week. Hallelujah. And all you underlings, fast and pray. And I have a dinner appointment with the mayor. Hallelujah. No, I'm going to fast too, you know. It's not something I delegate to your associates or to your minister. Okay, Myrtle, you and the staff fast, you know. And no, we're going to do it. We'll be a part of it. We need leaders because leadership is sorely lacking in our culture. It really is lacking. Anybody can score a try. Anybody can be a big, tough guy on the rugby paddock and drink a beer. It's really leading in the things of life. Really leading in the things that count. Those are the things that limit us. Absentee leaders and absentee fathers. Number three, a disconnect from the past. A disconnect from the past. No sense of history or continuity. Some of you will remember when we lived at 18 Glenline, Renee's father was a military hero. He was a colonel and a helicopter pilot. He was killed in Vietnam when she was 8 years old. He received all these medals during his lifestyle, and he received the Medal of Honor posthumously after his death. And we had a big plaque of all these things. And when the children were little, Rebecca, Benjamin, Abby, and Rachel, and believe me, there was a time when Ben was little, they would come and they would look at those medals. What does this mean, Daddy? Well, this is your grandfather. You never met him. He died as a hero when Mommy was a little girl. But this is what he won for serving his country. See this medal? The president gave him that one. See this? And all of a sudden, connection. Wow. Connection. And all of our children have a sense of continuity. There's something, I'm not here by accident. See, if there is no meaning and no connection with your past, there will be no hope for your future. You are just a random possibility. That's why evolution is such a bankrupt theory. Notice I said the word theory. It is not a fact. It isn't science. It's a theory, but it's bankrupt because it says that you happened by accident. You are just lucky mud, and you really have no meaning. There's no ultimate meaning for you in this absurd universe. So just eat, drink, because tomorrow you die. And it really doesn't matter what you do. Yet legacy says you have continuity. There's something about the past that is you're meant to know so you can launch into your future. That this legacy that you're now gleaning from, the memories, you can leave one of your own. Amazing. It's amazing how our culture tries to cut and revise history so that this thing called legacy will not be transferred to the next generation. Lord Macaulay said this, it's on the overhead. He said, a people who takes no pride in noble achievements of their ancestors will never achieve anything worthy to be remembered with by pride for their descendants. A people who takes no pride in the noble achievements of their ancestors will never achieve anything worthy to be remembered with pride by their descendants. It's amazing. Karl Marx said this along with Thomas Ingalls, who wrote the Communist Manifesto. He said, give me your children until they're five, and they will be mine for life. A people who have no history are easily persuaded. We'll indoctrinate them. We'll tell them they're accidents. We'll tell them that the state is supreme, and we will indoctrinate. They'll be mine. Give them to me for 5 years, and they will be mine for life. Because we will write their history. We'll put disconnect in there. And we'll plug them in where we want them to plug them in. They'll be like robots. They'll be programmed to believe what we say. And they'll just be part of this big thing called the Communist Army, this revolution. And he did it with 17 college students. That's why we're here on the university. I told you about being strategic. We're going to be on the university. I don't care if we've got 10,000 people, we will have a presence on the university. Why? The future leaders of the culture are on the university. People say, why did you homeschool your children? Well, we wanted to indoctrinate our children with the Bible. We wanted an indoctrination with purpose and destiny and legacy. And I'm glad they did. Can I tell you what? We didn't do too bad. They all four got full scholarships wherever they went. They're very smart. Thank God they take after their mom. But it works. Why? Because we were strategic in this thing called legacy. Can I tell you something? We didn't just pick Brisbane because we were tired of Auckland. We came here from strategic planning and praying. I had several options to go otherwhere, and it was much more lucrative, may I tell you that? We didn't come here for money, I'll tell you that much. It was much more lucrative to go back to America where those options were, and people were asking us, would you please come and take this situation? We said, no, God, so why? There's something of a legacy God wants to leave. And I told my wife, I said, Renee, I've got one more church plant in me. I got one more plant here in the South Pacific. And so we sold everything. We gave away our cars. We came here to plant this church. And can I tell you what? I'm so glad we did. You know why? Because I'm looking at your faces. And I'm so encouraged. Was it worth it? Every dime. Was it worth going to New Zealand to see Seda and Noveline saved? Every dollar. Was it worth it? Every single effort. Every bit of energy, every trial, every tribulation, every anxiety, every worry, everything we had to expend, it was worth it. Why? This thing called legacy is real. It's real, ladies and gentlemen. And you're making one right now, whether you like it or not. I pray you're making the right one. I pray you're being strategic with your life. Everything you and I do in this life lives on for eternity. I love what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, lay not for yourself treasures up on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What's he saying? Be poor on the earth? No, he's saying don't let your treasures stay there. Don't let that be your treasure chest. Why? Because wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. Whatever has your heart, that's your treasure. Whether it's the Broncos, Nando's, Max Brenner's, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your wife, your husband. Can I tell you something? Sports makes a very bad deity. You know why? Because they don't win all the games. How many of you found that out? Yeah. I mean, you let the Broncos win. We won. Everybody's in maroon walking around, and they got the hats and the flags and everything. Let them lose. All of a sudden, they lost. What do you mean they? It was we last week. Now it's they. It's amazing. Don't store up for yourself treasure, but store up in heaven where thieves and rust do not destroy and do not decay. Jesus separated life into two categories. Number one, the physical or the temporal is where things rust and can be stolen and taken away. Can I tell you what? This life and the things you put value in on this life will someday be gone. Did you know that? Do you know things are running down in this physical world? It's called entropy. One day, this building will not be here. One day, you've noticed this, that when people live a long time, their body starts to kind of change. Have you noticed that? Gravity has effect on them. Those big pec muscles, they're from here, and now they're here. After about 20 years, things start shifting. You know, it's called entropy. Things change. Things that we're putting value on today are not going to be here. I was reminded of just the great time when we started the church in Auckland, and we had a place called at 12 Anderson Drive in Albany. How many remember 12 Anderson Drive in Albany? Yeah. David and Kim Koss remember it, because before that, they were not David and Kim Koss. They came in and were engaged, and they just started coming to our church, heard about our church, just came in, didn't really know us. They came to our home group at our home at 12 Anderson. And Kim came with David, and she brought something with her, a nice fluffy pillow. It wasn't that fluffy, but it was a pillow. And she came in, and guess what? She sat with her pillow, and I didn't know anything about it because she's young. She looks vibrant and healthy. But come to find out that she had chronic back problems and had gone to medical authorities and doctors, and they said, you're going to have this problem for a long time. There's nothing we can do. And what makes matters worse, you probably won't be able to have children. Is that correct? Yeah. And so she comes in there, and God gives me a word of knowledge. Says, somebody here's got back problems, and God wants to heal you. And right there in our room at 12 Anderson, our big lounge, we stuck her legs out. One leg was shorter than the other. We prayed right there, and God grew her leg out, and she stood up, and guess what? She can move around, and guess what? God healed her back, and not only that, she's got four children. Can I tell you something? David and Kim are here in Brisbane, Australia. That memory is with us, and they remember when God used this big mouth American to heal her back, and guess what? Legacy. Can I tell you something else? 12 Anderson is gone. They plowed over the house. There's big apartment complex. See, the temporal. What does temporal mean? It means of short duration, subject to change. Don't build only for the temporal. Should you build a house? Yes. Should you have a home? Yes. Should you be responsible? Yeah. But don't let that be your treasure chest. Don't let that be the thing that owns your heart, owns your passions. Why? Because wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow. That's why you need to invest in the kingdom. You know what? People ask me, have you ever thought about divorce? Absolutely not. I've got too much invested in her. I put too much money and spent so much money. You know what I'm saying? I got too much invested. It's like a stock, you know, so a stock portfolio. I can't afford to think about divorce. You can. I don't want to get divorced anyway, but you know what I'm saying? There's an investment there. You see, have you ever thought about, I'm just going to leave? I can't leave. I got too much invested. I got too much involved. See, that's what you got to have in a legacy. Have you ever been mad at your children, those who have children? Yeah. I've been mad at my children, but I can't. They're still my children. I can't, you know, they're too big to discipline now physically, so I just get mad and forgive them. I've got too much invested. Too many turkeys and hams invested in Ben. I can't, you know, there's too much food I've paid for. He's still my son, no matter what he does, good or bad or indifferent. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you got to do. I can't leave the kingdom of God. Why? I've invested 32 years in it. I'd be a fool to leave now. Sounds like a song. You'd be a fool to leave now. No, you know, 32 years worth. So God wants us to invest in that which is eternal. That's the second thing, is the temporal is short duration, but the eternal is forever. We'll be talking about David and Kim. We'll be talking about Seda at the airport. You wouldn't have believed Seda back then. Boy, he looked like a cover guy on, you know, for the rugby monthly. You know, he had those big legs kind of propped up there and had those big, he was muscular and had shorts on. It was winter and looking like... looking like I'm bad. And he did look bad. I thought, golly, this guy's got to be an athlete. You know, I walked up to him, and you know how athletes try to be real cool? He kind of did that to me. I said, hey, you know, I started talking to him. And, you know, all of a sudden, a few weeks later, that went to God. Help me, God. Don't you laugh too much. I remember the meeting you came, Norman. I remember that meeting you came, brother. Norman was like, he thought it was a cult. You know, he walked in, it's a big mansion here, oh, and there's a bunch of Americans, and he walked in, there's a big chandelier, this has got to be a cult. You know, walks in there, and after about 30 minutes of me preaching, he's on the second wall weeping like a baby. I need God. Yeah, that's why we brought you here. Legacy. Legacy. I'll never forget 18 Glenline because of the people we baptized there, Shani and Stephanie and many of you that we baptized, Talitha. We baptized the people there, the lives that were touched there, and the people coming at me looking at me, oh, you guys are feeding us for free. You're not charging us any money. What's the catch here? We want you to come so we can tell you about God. Eat up. Eat up. Is that it? You just want to talk to about the Bible? That's it? Okay, I'll have seconds, you know. And what is it? We're investing not just in the temporal world. You're investing in a long-term eternal legacy. Why? Because people are going to live forever. You know what? You're going to live forever. I want you to touch the person next to you and say, you are going to live for eternity. Tell them that. What you do, listen to me, what you do in this life will determine where you live forever. You will live forever, either in heaven or hell. I can't make it any plainer. What you believe in this life will determine where you live for eternity. How you live in this life will determine how you live forever and what kind of legacy you leave. Make sure we're sowing for the eternal, not the temporal. Make sure we're sowing for things that are going to live on after I'm gone. You know why I'm so excited? Because Nellie and Tina are coming. They got raised up in our ministry, and they're going to do so great here. In fact, prophetically, prophetically, when Cecilia gets back here, there's going to be a real apostolic musical thing that comes on this church. I'm just prophesying it's going to happen. There's going to be recordings. There's going to be albums come out of here. People are going to come here who've been disillusioned with life and disillusioned with church. They're going to come back here, and God's going to touch them. He's going to use you guys through music. Get ready. This is just a little foretaste. This is a little appetizer. Amen. How many are excited about that? That's going to be, and I'm going to come back. See, I'm going to come back, and we're going to be laughing and excited. This place is going to be filled up with people praising God because the excellence on the music. Why? Because we did something that had eternal significance. We got our eyes off ourselves and started looking at other people and saying, this is important. That person's important. My time is important. Not spending it on what will make me feel comfortable, but getting my eyes off myself and developing people, sowing into people for eternal significance. Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? I love this. Amy Carmichael said this, we will have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but only a few short hours before sunset to achieve them. You're going to be dead for a lot longer than you're alive. Let's get busy doing God's will. Let's get busy leaving a legacy. Let's get busy being strategic. C.S. Lewis said this, I love it, it's on the overhead. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most in the present world were precisely those who thought most about the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they have become ineffective in this one. You know why I do what I do now? Because I know one day I will give an account for what I should have done as a man. And I won't have a chance to do it. C.S. Lewis said that's why Christians are ineffective, because they're not thinking about the eternal. They're just thinking about how they can scrape through, how they can have a nice, easy, comfortable existence on this side of eternity, and then someday fly away and everything will be hunky-dory. And he's saying when we think about eternity, we realize we're meant to do something on this side of life that makes an impact. Why? Because we will be there for all eternity. We'll never get a chance to do it again. Make and leave a legacy. Make and leave a legacy. Let me give you two more legacy principles and we'll close. Generational thinkers, people who think about the next generation, they use these legacy principles all the time. Number one, wherever you invest your time, energy, and finances, your heart will follow that. Wherever you invest your time, energy, and finances, your heart will follow. You know what? When I was in Auckland, I couldn't help but think about you guys on Sunday. I was preaching in Auckland, and I looked at my watch. I said, okay, Seda and Jonathan are setting up just about now. The praise and worship team's getting. I'm thinking about you guys. Why? I've invested time, energy, and money and emotion in you. And I'm over here preaching at another church that we started, but I'm thinking about you. Why? Because you're part of me. You're part of Renee. Every time I talk to Renee, she breaks down crying. Why? How's the church doing? I want to hug him. I want to see him. Why? Because she's made an investment here. She loves you guys. I mean, she always talks about Talitha, always talks about Yasmin, wants to know how Roisin's doing, and on and on, Myrtle and Kim. And she's, how are they? What about me? Talk to me. I'm the one on Skype. If you want to talk to them, talk to Skype them, you know? What is it? What's going on there? She's invested so much here. Her heart's there. I challenge you, if you want to really have a heart for the kingdom, start giving your money, time, and energy. Your heart will follow. The reason you're following New South Wales is because you spent all that money for that gear, and they ain't winning, and that's why you're sad. Amen or oh my. So, well, I'll pull for the All Blacks. That won't help either. They're going to end up losing sooner or later, no matter how good they are now. Why? Because you are a spirit being, and there's a spiritual significance that we're supposed to leave on this side in the physical world. Your legacy begins with your heart. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Your legacy begins with your heart. I love Alex, and I love Michael. You know why? I'll never forget when Alex showed up to our door. We're praying for people to come, people who are disillusioned or backsliders, and people who are looking for direction. And 20 minutes after we prayed, we were fasting and praying, and all of a sudden, Alex comes up. He's got slick back hair and a big beard. He looks like a reject from Hell's Angels or the Crips or the Bloods, you know. And he walks in and said, "Is there a Bible study here?" Or no, "Is there a prayer meeting here?" I said, "Yeah, come on in." And he walks in and he's got his shorts on, and he's on one leg, he's got a devil tattooed on one leg with a sword or something like that. I don't know. Some kind of weapon. And then another one, he's got Jesus on the cross. He's literally a walking testimony. Walk in my house. I'm thinking, dear Lord, Lord, we prayed for people, you know, to come that need help. Not, you know, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, this guy, you know what? He just fit in. We fed him. We met with him. We blessed him. We prayed for him. And guess what? He's now on the base. You know, why? Because prayer. And you know what? I love that guy. He's as faithful as the day is long. He will not miss a Bible study. He was there Thursday morning leading it with Michael. It's worth all of that. Why? Because people count. People matter. You see? Same with Michael. He calls up, "Is this Every Nation?" "Yeah, it is." He goes, I want to come to your meeting because my fiance to be told me I should check you guys out." And he comes along and he starts coming to the Bible study. He was so tenderhearted. It only took a week doing a Bible study and feeding him, and all of a sudden he got saved, you know. And he comes along and gets saved. And guess what? He's our IT director now. Amen. Doing a great job. You're wondering how the slides are moving up there? It's not magic. It's Michael. He's right here. You see? And so that's what it's all about. Investing in people. Number two, move away from living from the temporal to investing into the eternal. We talked about that. I'm going to close with this story. What you do on this side of eternity does count forever, whether good or bad. There was a story of a man named William Tyndale. William Tyndale. Go to the next slide, please. William Tyndale was a linguist expert in the 16th century in England. He was an Oxford scholar, spoke 8 different languages. Brilliant. He started reading the Hebrew and the Greek Bible and realized that the Roman Catholic Church was not going by scripture at all. In fact, they were teaching that the Pope was infallible, and what the Pope said and the cardinals were saying was higher than scripture. And he became one of the reformers, saying, "This is wrong. The scripture should be supreme, not what the Pope and what Rome says." He caught a lot of heat from church, the ecclesiastical order of his day, was persecuted, but he was a very smart man. He was able to flee from England and go to the continent in Germany, and a man named Martin Luther was there, and he met with him, and he started translating from the Greek and the Latin, the Old and the New Testament. Guess what? They didn't want people to read the Bible back then. You know why? Because they wanted to keep people under their thumb. The Roman Catholic Church thought that only the priest could read the scripture and understand it. They didn't want the common man to be able to read the scripture. So it was all Bibles were in Latin. And so Here we have Tyndale who say, no, we need to get the Bible in the hands of the common man. We need to translate it from those who can't read Latin, and I'm going to translate it into English. He caught a lot of flack for that, so much so he had to flee for his life. But he knew, God, I need to do this, because he said, if you spare my life, God, I will cause the plowboy who walks behind the plow to know more of the Holy Scripture than the Pope in Rome, if you spare my life. Notice his heart. He's not saying, give me an easy road. I want a nice house. I'd like a vacation to Hawaii. Oh, Lord, I've served you. No, no, no. If you spare my life, there's a legacy to be left here. There's a principle that I'm investing into eternal things, so therefore I can go through the temporal hard things because there's something eternal going on here. And lo and behold, he did translate the Bible into English. And they took his Bible. They finally caught him on the continent, and they brought him back to England, and guess what they did? They publicly executed him in front of all the people in the square. After he spent 2 years in prison, they put him out there. He had all, his crime, translating the Bible into English so common people like you and I could read it. They strung him up. The whole town came out to see him. And before they burned him at the stake, they put a noose around his neck and they started strangling him before they were going to burn him. And the last words he said was this, Lord, I pray that you would open up the King of England's eyes to the gospel. They pulled the noose tight, strangled him to death. Then they lit the fire and burned his body to a crisp. Can I tell you what? King Henry VIII was on the throne. 2 years later, he wanted to get away from the Roman Catholic Church. And so he said, let's start putting the translation of the Bible in villages so people can read it. Can I tell you what? When his translator started putting it together, most of the translation they used was William Tyndale's original version. Today, have you ever heard of the King James Bible? Have you ever heard of the New American Standard, the NIV? Almost 70 to 80% of what we have today in English was translated by William Tyndale in 1536, being burned at the stake. Chances are, millions, if not billions of people got saved and have a Bible today because this one man's sacrifice to leave a legacy. I wonder, what would happen today if somebody was doing that and it was going to impact future generations the way William Tyndale was? Most Christians today would say, oh God, I didn't sign up for this. I thought you were going to make my life easy. I thought Christianity was supposed to be self-improvement and make me feel good about life and give me a nice, comfy, smooth existence. I didn't sign up for this, God. But William Tyndale looked at it and he said, God, if I live long enough, if you will give me grace to stay alive, it's not about me, it's about legacy. And millions of people will read this word and will be transformed because of my obedience. I want to be strategic. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be selfish. And today we sit here reading the Bible that a man gave his life to translate into English because of his obedience. That's legacy. That is legacy. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this notion of legacy that you've given us. Father, I pray today that people in this auditorium, no matter where they're at, no matter what family they represent, no matter what nation they come from, Lord, that you would show them and give them a great sense of legacy. That their today matters, their life counts. What we do lives on for eternity. Father, I thank you. We can celebrate legacy with the great things you've done with every nation in the South Pacific. But Lord, this is just the beginning. There's so many people of destiny, so many people of legacy sitting right here, Lord. I pray that you would just seal this word in their hearts to cause them to run this race with great joy. And Lord, that we would be as that grain of wheat, that we would die and go into the ground and bear much fruit. I thank you for this word. With your heads down, your eyes closed, I want to ask you this. How many would say, Pastor Ken, this word was a wake-up call for me to really get strategic about my life and about what God's called me to do? This was for me, God. The Holy Spirit tailor-made this so I could hear it. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me, Pastor. Yeah, you can put your hand down. Lord, for all these wonderful people, precious people who've raised their hand, I pray that you would show them how to be strategic, that they would not waste time or fall into the trap of being a consumer, being self-absorbed. But Father, we would be others-oriented and kingdom-oriented, that we would invest in the kingdom, and that way our treasure and our heart would go that way. So Lord, I pray for that. I pray for those people. Thank you. We have a wonderful legacy here in Brisbane. You're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with God. I didn't ask you if you believed in God. I didn't ask you if you thought Jesus died on the cross. I'm asking you this question. Are you right with God? And if your answer is no, I'm not right with God. My life is not under his lordship. I'm doing my own thing. I'm calling my own shots. I am not living for Jesus. If you want to get right with God, if you want to repent, that means turn away. If you want to turn away from your rebellion, your independence, your sin, whatever it is, let me tell you what, today, God's Spirit is here. He can forgive you. He loves you. He demonstrated it by dying on the cross for you. And right now, right here in this auditorium on Sunday morning, don't stiff arm the grace of God and the legacy of God that he has for you. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You say, well, man, I've got a horrible past. It really doesn't matter. What God's concerned with is not your past. He's concerned with your future. Right now, if you will get things right with God, his grace is here to forgive you and save you. If you're here today and you say, I need to get right with God, Pastor Ken. I need to get right with God. I'm not right with him. If I died today, it would not be a good scene. I need to get right. If that's you, pray this prayer from your heart. Just pray it silently, and God will hear. Just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I've wasted time. I've wasted my money and energy and time on me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to take away my sin and take away my shame and my guilt, my condemnation, all the things that would accuse me and say, I don't deserve this. Lord, I repent. And I don't deserve it, but because you love me and you died for me, your grace is unmerited, so I can receive it. And I receive it today. I ask you to come into my heart, Jesus. Be my Lord and Master. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play religion. I want to be a real Christian. This day, I repent and I make Jesus Lord of my life. And I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. By his grace, I'm going to serve him. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you prayed that second prayer to get right with God, I just want you to raise your hand up high and say, yes, I pray. Just raise your hand up high. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. God bless you. Those five or six people who raised their hand, when we dismiss, I just want you to come down and I'd like to just shake your hand and get to know you. Some of you I know, some I don't know. But before you leave, I just would like for you to come down. I just want to say God bless you and thank you for being obedient to hear God. And I seal this word in every heart right now. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, a person in front, behind, say, I've got a legacy and I'm going to live it. All right. I'm going to do one thing before I hand it over to David and Norman and the team here. I want to prophesy over my friend here, Amanda. It is Amanda, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Amanda, come on up here. Steph, come stand with her. First time I met you, I was just really drawn to your, you know, lovely smile and your spirit. And just, you just got a beautiful winsome way about you, but the Lord gave me a prophecy for you, and I just want to record it for her. This is for Amanda. Yeah, you can come on down to Roisin if you'd like. And if those who don't know what prophecy is, it's when God speaks to you about someone or something And I don't really know Amanda except her name and that she's a lovely student here, but I do know God knows everything about her. So I just want to share and just put it on tape to record it for you. But the Lord would say, indeed, my daughter, I have called you to be my daughter. It says the Lord, there is a great sense of ambition and a great sense of achievement that wells up in your heart. But know this, says the Lord, I want to channel you. I want to direct you to be solely focused on what I have for you for the future. It says, Lord, even though on the outside you're very nice and smiley and carefree, on the inside you carry a lot of weight and carry a lot of expectation from others. And I just see family members who have put expectations on you, and you felt the burden of that. You felt the responsibility of that. And it has been a weight on you and a burden on you. And you've carried it and you've suppressed it and you put it down inside. But says the Lord, know this, that I want to lift that heavy burden off you. It's not about how hard you work or about how diligent you are. It's about how great I am as your God. And I would say, if you would let me, I would help order your life. You're a very sufficient, smart person, but it's going to run amok. It's going to run amok if you don't let me in, if you don't let me be a part of planning your life and planning what you want to do. And you're very smart. You analyze stuff to the point where you analyze even your analysis, and you're always sussing people out, and you can judge pretty good. But says the Lord that I want you to know something. You're gonna burn yourself out. You're gonna wear yourself out. And I would say, relax and let me be your father, and let me take control of that part of your life. You've given me all these other parts, but there's this one bit that you haven't, and I want that part too. Not because I want to hurt you or take something away from you, but because I want to bring peace and solace, and I want to get rid of anxiety and pressure from your life, says the Lord. And there's a great call on your life, Amanda. I just see it. I see you speaking in front of people. I see you being able to articulate very complex truths and distill it down to a very understandable way. I've given you a good mind, it says the Lord. I've given you a great energy, but I say the enemy also has plans for you, and you need to bring these things under my lordship. And says the Lord, you're going to be very much alive by the Spirit. My Spirit's going to begin. I'm going to talk to you by my Spirit. You're going to hear my voice. You've had a dream. You've had a desire to really be used by God. You've had a desire to really hear His voice and even supernatural things to happen. Says the Lord, I'm going to cause you to be able to lay hands on the sick and then recover. You won't understand it with your intellect, but I'm going to do it anyway. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to figure it out. You don't need to suss it out. You don't need to analyze it. I'm just going to do it despite your intellect because I'm God. It says the Lord, I'm going to use you in that area. Don't be surprised at the great spiritual window that opens up, the great vista that opens up before you. Thought, I never saw Christianity quite like this. The whole spiritual dimension is going to be very real to you. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, says God, and I will make your path straight, says the Lord. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, give God praise. God bless you, Amanda. All right. Praise the Lord. Listen, we love you guys so much. I did good. I didn't cry. I did good. Because I look at some of your faces, and if I start telling the stories, you say, why do you tell these jokes in it? So I won't cry. That's why I tell the jokes. So, okay, I don't have to cry now. But you guys are very dear to us. Renee and I love you deeply, and we would, with all the trials and tribulations and effort and energy that was expended, we'd do it all over again to see Alex walk in our door on a Friday night, to see Michael call up, to see Talitha get baptized, to see Edwina come and have a revelation of the goodness of God, to see Kate really get victory and sell out to Jesus. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And so we love you so much. Continue to pray for us. I leave on Tuesday to go to Dallas, Texas. And so you're all welcome to come. Just don't come at the same time. But you're all welcome to come. And I look forward to the day when we can have David Cost there with a big cowboy hat on and a big brass belt. We will definitely put that on Facebook. It'll go viral, brother, real quick. But just know we love you and we care so much about you. And we also have some greetings from America we're going to show you in just a second. So God bless you all. I challenge you. Make your life count. Leave a legacy like a Jonathan Edwards and a Sarah Edwards, and you'll be so glad you did. Amen. Can we give Jesus one more big hand clap? Come on. Hallelujah. David.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. We're gonna take up a love offering very soon for Pastor Ken Renee. Before we do that, I'm gonna get the leaders to come down. We're also gonna pray, and we've got a video from Renee. Is that right? Okay, which we're just gonna play now. So, Michael's just gonna get that ready. I'm gonna ask Norman and Easter to come down. Lena Renee and Kim, Rasheen, we're gonna come down here. Guys, we're gonna do that, but we're just gonna play a video first of Renee. Right, great. Okay, team, you want to come down? Pastor Ken, we just would like you to stand again. We just want to pray for you. And I guess we want to thank you so much for what you've done here in the South Pacific. You have been such a blessing to us. You know, you've imparted to us. You've, as you preached about today, you've left a legacy. And we're just so thankful for you coming, you and your family, for coming here. And just leaving a special deposit here and impacting this region. So we're going to pray for you now. We're going to ask Norman to pray first.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing the best down under. 14 years ago, changed my life. And I thank you for this man and for Renee, as well as the Dew children, for the impact that they've left in my life, as well as with Easter and our children. Father, we pray nothing but blessing over Pastor Ken and Renee. Continue to bless their hands as they continue to plow in the work in the field, Lord. Continue to spread your word to those people who don't know you. Father, as we send out Pastor Ken and Renee, Father, we pray for protection, for traveling mercies, and we pray that you continue to keep them safe and healthy in Jesus' name.
Yeah, we just thank you so much for the example that they are, Lord, the obedience to the call that you have on their life, Lord God. And now they've been obedient again, and it's sad for us, but we just rejoice in what you're doing in their lives. We pray for blessing over them, over their finances, Lord, over their family, over the ministry that they're doing, Lord God, that they will be truly fruitful. And the ministries here that they have planted, Lord, they would continue to grow and thrive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're just going to take up a love offering for Pastor Ken and Renee. So we're going to have the baskets going to go around now. We'll just ask you to think about giving to them. So you're most welcome to stay. We have a big feast that is coming up. It's going to be at the I House, which is just over here. If you need directions, you can just ask some of the leaders here, and we'll give that to you. Did you want to say something about that? No.
It's just you come out of Mansfield Place, take a right onto Services Road, and then you're going to take a right onto Hood Street. Is that correct? IH? Yep. Okay, cool. So just if you park along Rock Street or nearby Rock Street, the entrance is 5 Rock Street, St. Lucia. So, yeah, we're going to be meeting there straight away, so please bring a plate to share, and we're going to spend the afternoon together and really to bless Pastor Ken. So. Okay, for those who've really have been after Pastor Ken's message, would like to come down for just to meet Pastor Ken and just for us to pray with you, then please do that after the service. That'd be wonderful. Thank you guys all for coming.
Okay, great. So we've just got one more thing. We've got a video from Pastor Nelly, Pastor Nelly and Tina. So just sit back, and this is our new pastor and his wife, and so we're gonna see them now. It's really funny. They sent through that video to me, and I played it, and it was upside down. So, but the wonders of technology and Michael made it so that we could watch it today. So, it would have been funny the other way around, but I thought we'd turn around for you. So, anyway, we're going to meet very soon. So, hang around here in fellowship. There's people you want to come see Pastor Ken and some of the leaders here. We'd love to talk to you. So, have a great week. Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.